JG 2. Number 11A.
Therefore, we see that this is a simultaneous happening. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. And therefore, that is the what I like to call the algorithm of the divine algorithm going on. An algorithm is just a method of procedure. And it's a used in computer terminology, where we see that in being, in working with computers, that a whole computer works on a binary code. You can either call it pulse or no pulse, or one and an O. It works on a binary code. Well, that's then exactly what principle operates on, this binary code of the Christ presenting what we are as idea. When that idea is, we see, as Mrs. Eddy says, is understood. An idea is an immediate object of understanding. With that understanding comes the light, and with that light there can be no darkness. So, therefore, this terrific algorithm is going on in being, where algorithm, we spell A-L-G-O-R-I-T-H-M, a term that is used in the world. We pick up these terms that are applicable to our system. We don't use a lot of terms. I think in talking about, digressing a bit, when we talk about picking up new terms in science, there's nothing wrong with using the new terminology in the day. We wouldn't have progressed to the abstract science that we have today if the language doesn't evolve. We certainly aren't talking about trees for principle and stones for truth and water for mind. Our language mutates and changes. But what's intelligent is that we use the terms that are key. We use the economy of being. We think how Max, back in the late 60s, started using that term cybernetics, from that cybernetic field of self-operating systems, starting in with the computer age and self-seeking systems. But we qualified it not as cybernetics of the world, but called it divine cybernetics. That term makes it very clear to us that being is a self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting system. And with that term, we have gone 23 years on a wonderful term from the world that we needed. We could not have grasped the system without it. So it's an economy of these terms that are in the world. There are certain terms that we just, that are very applicable and say precisely what we mean by a subject. Mrs. Eddy always was listening to the right term to use. We do the same thing. We don't use all the terms the world uses. That wouldn't be economy, would it? We pick out, we can see those terms that seems to stand out that really explain the system. Those are the terms we use, like divine algorithm. It's a method of procedure. The world talks in algorithms. They'll know we mean that we're talking about some kind of a method of procedure, you see. So we just can use those terms that are intelligent. Always when we use a term from the world, we qualify it as a divine meaning. We don't leave it with the human meaning. Like, we don't call it cybernetics, we call it divine cybernetics, meaning we've taken the symbol of the world and given it a higher meaning. The biblical writers took the myth of the record of creation was always used and going on, and they took that myth of the record of creation and gave it a higher meaning than the first record of creation. So they used the myth but gave it a higher meaning. And so we can use these symbols, but always say that we mean something else by these symbols. And the only way we can say that we mean something else by these symbols is call it divine, huh? Which means we've got another definition. So therefore, if we see that the Christ idea operates as a divine algorithm, so what do we mean if we look at this through the levels? Well, if we see that on the level of science itself, the eighth day, the 8,000-year period of the I Am, that is just that infinite one principle going on. Principle being its own infinite principle. Then on the level of the 7,000-year period of divine science, we saw, therefore, that was that principle, operating principle. Therefore, a principle being showing forth, really, that it is principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. And so showing forth that within that infinite principle, it has a universal idea. And seeing that within that self-reflection of principle, on the level of science itself, that on the level of divine science, that self-reflection is always going on. And then on the level of absolute Christian science, we stay within the immaterial feedback principle and still see that its principle showing its fourth self as ideas, yet still remaining principle. And if we stick to that and understand it, it's a positive feedback. If we don't, there appears to be a negative feedback. So the Christ has this two-edged sword of the first and second translation. Where on absolute Christian science, we see, therefore, that Christ idea has a downward causation on absolute Christian science. Principle is translating itself as principle's idea. That has an impact on the relative standpoint, causing, once that idea is understood, that has an impact on the relative standpoint where the false belief is retranslated out of unreality through the second degree of evil beliefs disappearing into the third degree, finally back into the realm of positive values through its translation and retranslation. So this downward causation is happening, which principle is presenting what it is as idea. The first translation, that idea is understood, and it causes what its impact on the human to go through what is called the phase transition from the first degree through the second degree into third degree back into the realm of the calculus of ideas. That is a natural algorithm going on in being, just showing the same thing that we have on page 49 and 50, just the first and second translation happening, but show that they're happening on the levels of absolute Christian science, the translation of principle to idea, which is understood, which causes the retranslation on Christian science into back into the positive value. This is something that happens simultaneously. So naturally, I like to show it through graphics. It just sometimes makes it interesting that if you take then that realm of science itself, that realm of the infinite light, that infinite principle being its own infinite principle in its, as I said, its infinite self-reflection, then on a divine science, that divine principle love, which is really that a principle, therefore, as I've said, being its own infinite, showing forth its idea, its universal idea, yet still remaining principle, a divine principle, which is love, that in all sense, showing, therefore, that it has its impact of the translation and retranslation always going on. So that translation and retranslation is like an algorithm in being. It's constantly going on. It's moving constantly. When the first translation occurs, it causes a retranslation. It's just something that is happening just simultaneously. It's moving. It's dynamic. We don't make it happen. It's happening itself according to the laws of translation and retranslation. It's a very dynamic system that is going on in being. However we want to see it. You see it. It is a constant movement going on within the realm of being itself. So we see that this is a very dynamic, alive system. It isn't just something that is black on white or what we're reading about. It's something that is alive and moving. And we certainly saw this with the work of Paul Davies when he showed us that these laws are, we don't have to inform the laws of the state. The laws know the state, therefore if we take the standpoint of the laws, of the perfect laws, and understand the laws, they have this natural rhythm is constantly going on with understanding, as I say, clearing up immediately misunderstanding through the Christ and his translation and retranslation. These are laws. These laws don't have to be informed. They know the state. So therefore we say, why is this process going on? What is the reason for this process going on? The reason for this process of translation and retranslation going on is because principle God, on the level of science itself, is that law of self-reflection, as we saw. It's that law that can only reproduce like. If on the level of science itself, it finds its own nature, then it, of course, is just reproducing itself. On the level of science itself, nothing is under consideration but principle, including within itself its own idea. So it's just like reproducing like on that level. On the level of divine science, only principle is operating principle, and therefore it is that same reflex system of just like reproducing like. But on the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science, if we stick to the level of absolute Christian science and calculating in positive values, then it's that immaterial feedback principle, that positive feedback principle is at work, and like reproduces like. We get the calculus of ideas that are constantly restructuring themselves on absolute Christian science. It's just, again, a pure reflection of ideas going back. It just stays within the infinite reflection. But if that principle doesn't find its like to reproduce like, it has to change it. It has to get rid of the muddy river waters. It's that principle is seeking its own nature. The principle doesn't know error. It only knows itself, and it only seeks itself and purifies itself. So this terrific operation, really, of the Christ presenting what we are as a calculus of ideas, automatically, if it finds that we aren't of the values of the calculus of ideas, if our consciousness isn't of the reality values of mind, or the reality values of spirit, or the reality values of soul, or the reality values of principle, or the reality values of life, or the reality values of love. And as I say, we cannot fool the principle. We can fool some of the people some of the time, or maybe all of the people some of the time, but we can't fool principle any of the time. It knows the state of consciousness, and if it isn't like itself, it will correct the value and make the value of consciousness like the value of principle. Therefore, we're only dealing with consciousness. We're only dealing with the values of consciousness. Man, the form of man is consciousness. As we read in the Compendium of Truth under form, That and health is just when consciousness conforms to an ideal standard. And when consciousness adheres to an ideal standard, that's health. But if consciousness doesn't adhere to an ideal standard, then that false belief is causing a sickness. It isn't a miscalculation is there, and it has to be corrected. It's a value that isn't of a value of God that's being entertained. And is because that principle is presenting itself as idea, and it wants to restructure its idea. It's seeking its own nature. Mind is seeking mind's reality value in us. Spirit is seeking spirit's reality value in us. Soul is seeking soul's reality value in us. Principle, life, truth, and love are seeking principles, life, truth, and love reality values in it. And if it doesn't find it, it automatically brings us back to those reality values. So we're dealing with consciousness based on reality values to bring us back to the standard of the reality values of principle in consciousness. And when that happens, we stay in heaven. We stay on the level of science itself. And that law of self-reflection goes on, and we spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. It's easy. The law is easy. The system is easy. It's allowing the principle to happen in our life that is hard through false education. So we see then that they see today in the world such as that we're dealing with a system of reality values, and that reality values are the basic stuff of the universe. And as we well know, it's always easy to change our thinking, meaning it's easy to change how we think about something, but to let the Christ change our value, to change our nature, to change the inner nature or value of man, there we say, well, that's my nature to be that way. And then Mrs. Eddy said, to break Earth's stubborn will, to break the stubbornness and tenacity of hanging on, usually unconsciously or subconsciously, to what we call self, which from the miscalculation is always, as astrology defines us, as DNA defines us, as some universal collective or unconscious belief defines us. The point is to let that all go as no reality value, and the admittance to ourselves that we're God's own likeness sets us free to master the infinite idea, to let it go. That's what it's changing. It's changing not our thinking, but it's changing our nature. So our nature and God's nature is one. From a animal nature to a more moral nature into a spiritual nature. And so that's where the system comes out and seeks us to make our nature and God's nature one. So therefore we can see what looks like on the science level to be a nested hierarchy, where in the law of self-similarity or the law of self-reflection, consciousness spirals higher and higher from a boundless basis. That nested hierarchy becomes a control hierarchy when the principle begins to translate itself down as idea universe into a calculus of ideas, and that calculus of ideas resolves the calculus of illusions until finally everything is resolved back into onto spiritual spheres and exalted being. So they see that, different people see that what we're dealing with is just a universe, that the basic stuff of the universe are values, and therefore it's the values of consciousness that have to change in order for the universe to change. Now, within consciousness, in order to get a change, to see the impact on the relative standpoint. If we don't like the universe, then they that from the so-called relative standpoint, then they're seeing that one has to, it's a question of values and a question of reality values of consciousness, and that one has to be more transparent to higher values to see the world differently. Indeed, the world might be different, they see in the world. So the stuff of the world becomes these values. One of the people who sees this quite clearly is Willis Harmon. He is president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences. He worked as an electrical engineer for many years and is an electrical engineering professor at Stanford University, and he spent 16 years at the Stanford Research Institute, now the SRI International, and before becoming, or maybe simultaneously, but now anyhow, as president of the Institute of Noetic Science. I had the good fortune, as some of you know, to meet him. My niece worked there at the Institute of Noetic Science for a while, just in the offices, helping out. And he is absolutely, I think, a terrific transparency for what is getting a feeling of a higher realm coming into being. But anyhow, in this a publication called Business Ethics, it's a magazine of socially responsible business, volume 6, number 2, March-April 1992, under the heading, Who Cares About America's Worker? In that magazine, on page 28, 29, and I guess 30, there's an interview with Willis Harmon on the role of business in a transforming world. And it's incredible, really. The interviewer was talking to Harmon, and he says to him, I'm curious about your background, Willis. How does an electrical engineer become active in an issue like global mind change? He said, it's a fairly natural progression. He said, I began, he said, to sense that somehow one had to deal with two big issues. One, what is the picture of reality that underlies the whole system? And if business is the engine that creates the future, too, how does business learn to conform to a totally different picture of reality? Isn't that the two questions we ask? Science, what is reality? Health, how do we conform to that reality? He's already touched the Christ. And he says, and the interviewer says, in your book, Global Mind Change, you talk about a shift from a world view that sees physical reality as primary to one that sees mind as primary, that sees mind as that which gives rise to physical reality. Harmon says, at the level of economics, I would put the shift this way, that we are now moving from a society in which economics is dominant to one in which values and purpose are more important. Economics and technology are only the means you use to achieve certain goals, and we've lost the track of the goals. We've become totally fascinated with technological advance and economic growth without any sense of where it's going. We have to learn to put back meaning, values, purpose, everything that makes human life human. The interviewer says, as you put it in your book, you're talking about a new awareness that consciousness is causal reality, that everything arises from the picture and values we hold in our minds. Do you really believe that? Harmon, I just came back from a management training workshop. He said, where the most fundamental premise is that the subjective mind, consciousness, spirit, is the cause of everything, and that objective reality is the effect. The whole workshop was based implicitly on this, that if values and consciousness are the primary reality, then how do we manage an organization and to what end? Interviewer, what's your personal experience with this? In science, I've seen a pushing at the edges to see if we can't somehow get new ways of seeing into our scientific worldview. With quantum physics and holographic theory and chaos theory and so on. But I think it's gradually dawning on a few people that we have to go back to our assumptions of separateness, that the objective assumptions that there is a physical reality out there that is separate from us, a reality of various parts we can measure. What if we rebuilt the whole structure on which on a different premise, which is that everything is oneness? Everything is intercommunicating with everything else. You see, what we're talking about here is far more revolutionary than anything since the scientific revolution itself. Interviewer, is it a question of stepping out of a mechanistic worldview into something much bigger? Yes. But it may not be a helpful way of looking at it exactly. It's a picture of the world in which creativity, intuition, values, aesthetic sense, and spiritual sense are all realities. Just to repeat it, he says that the new picture of the world and that the reality values of the new world, he says, is that the new world picture is that it's a picture of the world in which creativity, intuition, values, aesthetic sense, and spiritual sense are all realities. Gosh, it's just beautiful, isn't it? He says, as immediate experiences, they are in some sense more real than this table, which is mostly empty space.